It is great, just like Steve said, for see so many young people out on Friday night to come and study about God and His Word. It's such an encouragement to me to see all of you guys out here tonight. I hope I can give you something to think about tonight as we go through this. This lesson has helped me a lot. This is something that's very prevalent in our society now. It's something that I think is very dangerous in our society. A lot of people get sucked in by this illusion as we're talking about tonight and fall victim to this illusion. So let's jump right in. What is affluence? That's not a word that I use every day. See, you picked that word out. What is it? I'm going to talk a little bit. I'm not going to ask a lot of questions, but I want you to speak up a little bit. What? Being rich, right? It's a state of having a great deal of money, great deal of wealth. And you can see from that definition, it's kind of relative, isn't it? And what's a great deal of money? For some people, you know, it may be $1 million. If you're a millionaire, you know, you may think $1 billion. You know, it's kind of a relative term. In other countries, you know, I guarantee you every one of us is rich in a different country. So we're very well off in this country. So you can see that's kind of a relative term, but we're just talking about that state of being very comfortable or having a lot of worldly possessions. What about materialism? It's the tendency to consider material possessions and physical comfort as more important than spiritual values. So this one, I think, is one that really hits home. This is more of an attitude problem. You can see that it's a priority problem. It's putting things of the world over our spiritual values. And this, you can see this definitely in our society today. All kinds of materialism. Do you think it's a problem? Do you think it's a problem? I think it's a problem in the world today. What about you guys? Do you think it's a problem? I think everybody in here would agree. especially in the United States, I would say. You know, there's other countries in the world that are not nearly as well off as we are. And you can see, if you think about it, some advantages to that. You can see where they may not have some of the temptations. They may not fall into these illusions, these traps. Materialism and great deal and wealth. Another question, do you think it's more of a problem now than it has been in the past? In some cases, maybe. Some people maybe shook their head no. I think it's always been a problem. You can read, there's warnings of it in the Bible, so it's definitely always been a problem. Is it more prevalent around us right now than it was? Is it more widespread? Maybe in our culture specifically, but I don't know about worldwide. But it's a problem that's been throughout time, right? So, now, let's just think about the wealth in today's world. Most of us, I've already mentioned it here, are wealthy, and we enjoy the material things. Is that a sin for us to be wealthy, have a lot of money? Is it a sin for us to enjoy the physical? No, it's not. You can see, if you look... Well, can you think of some examples? I've got some written down here in the Bible. What are some biblical examples that might tell us that God doesn't consider it a sin for you to have a great deal of earthly possessions? Solomon, right? God bless Solomon. Joseph. You can think of all kinds of Old Testament characters, right? You can start back with Abraham in Genesis 13:2. It says, now, Abraham was very rich in livestock and gold and silver. Job is one that always comes to my mind. He got everything taken away, but then he just got twice as much at the end, right? He was very wealthy. It said, you know, it goes and lists how many possessions he had. He had 7,000 sheep. Then it goes on later and says, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. God was with Job, right? So he didn't consider Job an unfaithful or a sinful person. He was with Job. Even in the New Testament, if you look in 1 Timothy 6, and you can go ahead and, we're not going to flip around too much. I've got a lot of things written down here, but we'll read some passages from 1 Timothy 6. And if you look at the end of that section, that section is where God, or where Paul is talking to the Timothy and kind of giving him some warnings and some things to tell the brethren. This is specifically talking about instructions to the rich, is the label that my Bible has in verse 17. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. If God thought it was a sin to be rich, what would he have said in that verse? Don't be rich, right? But he didn't say that. He said, tell them to use the things in a worthy manner, right? Don't trust in them. But trust in the living God who gives to us richly. He gives us these things richly for us to enjoy, right? So, that shows that God was not, doesn't consider it a sin for us to have these things. But, what does Matthew 19:24 tell us though? Lay up your treasures in heaven. I have written the wrong verse now, I think. In verse 23 of that, it says, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So it's not a sin, but what is Jesus telling us? It can definitely be a hindrance. If you're wealthy, it does present some problems, right? It makes it more difficult. It makes life more difficult to live in a godly manner. Because, as we're going to talk about tonight, there's a lot of things that come with worldly possession. A lot of more the temptations, a lot more responsibility. So the danger is our attitude toward the wealth. Not physically having things, but our attitude toward the things that we do possess. And I've got to note it there. Society pushes us to desire wealth. You can look at the rich young ruler in Mark 10:17-27 is where that story was. And what was his problem? What did God tell him to do? Remember he came to Jesus and asked him, what do I need to do, right? What did Jesus tell him first? He eventually told him to sell all he had. First of all, he told him to keep the commandments, and he said, I've done this from my youth up, and then he tells him to go sell all you had. You see that the attitude there, Jesus knew his heart, right? He knew this man's heart. He knew that in his heart, this guy could not give up his riches because he had lots of them. So that was an attitude problem that this man had. I want to think about these questions down here at the bottom. Do you have a love of money? You know, 1 Timothy 6 warns that, right? 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. That love of money is the key. Do you focus on riches too much? Do you think about riches, wealth, material things? How do we view money and things? How do we view people with more money than us? Do we kind of envy them? Do we get jealous? Does it kind of cause some jealous feelings in our heart? How do you think people of the world view wealth and materialism? That's kind of what we're going to jump into now. I would definitely say that most people in the world put materials well above God. Speaking of that, who's this guy? We're just talking about people of the world. This is some of the things. Does anybody in here know who this is? Hard to see. What about this? I may not follow. I don't really follow this guy. Who is it, Cameron? Mayweather. All right. What's his nickname? Money. That's his nickname, is Money. So he's a boxer. And he puts this stuff out on social media all the time. I see it on ESPN where he's tweeted out something. What do you think his attitude toward his money is? Is he proud of it? He's proud of it. So he goes out of his way. We're constantly bombarded. And this is just one example. You can think of all kinds of celebrities. You can think of all kinds of athletes that are constantly on TV showing off these things. You see the kind of lives they live. the lifestyle they live. And if you see too much of this, if you get swallowed by it, if you will, then you can get jealous, you can get envious, you can say, look what they're getting to do, and I'm just sitting here at home, you know, doing nothing. And they're all over, traveling all over the world on their yacht or whatever. So you can see that the more we're bombarded with this type of imagery, this type of message, that it can have a tendency to make that seed in us grow, that envy, that jealousy. And these small snapshots into their lives, you know, it seems like they've got things figured out, you know. They've got all this stuff. They must really have things figured out. But I think most of us in here know that these things that we see here from these folks, these celebrities, these athletes, most of them don't have a plan. They're just good at what they do. And they're getting sucked in by all this worldly materialism, this wealth, these riches of this earth, and they have nothing as far as the spiritual wealth. And this, they've got sucked in by the illusion, and that's the illusion that we want to unmask tonight so that everyone here will not fall into that trap. So now we're kind of just going to, I did have one other story, just talking about the way that society is now, and just proving or showing that our world is very materialistic. I had an article that I just ran across a couple of days ago. And this is from an 18-year-old girl. It was written in the Huffington Post. And you guys probably don't know, that's a very liberal website. They have all kinds of liberal ideas and liberal ideologies all the time. But this kind of caught my eye. It was this girl that had apparently lived in the Middle East for some time. And she was talking about, the name of the article was, "Is the American Dream Becoming Too Materialistic?" And in one paragraph down here, she says, "Unfortunately, the American dream is becoming more and more materialistic. I guess it was always a bit materialistic, but when I look at America today, I see a nation obsessed with the shopping and buying unnecessary products. Previously, people aspired to have a nice house in the suburbs with a couple of cars. Now, there's no end to the products that people want. The latest iPhone, expensive cars, designer bags, the list is endless. The American dream revolves around luxury goods for most people." And she quotes another lady called Ellen Goodman, who is also a journalist that writes a lot of opinion articles. Her quote was, "Normal is getting dressed in clothes that you buy for work and driving through traffic in a car that you are still paying for. In order to get to the job, you need to pay for the clothes and the car, and the house you leave vacant all day so you can afford to live in." So that just shows how you think that's what most people do, right? They go to work all day, have a house that they're paying for, they've got a new car, there's constantly, they've got to work extra hours to pay for all the stuff they bought. And that's normal. And that's what gets us sucked into it, is that that's what normal people do. So I want to just now, I think we can all agree that this is the normal in our society. Let's get some of the ways that the world thinks about these things, some of the illusions of the world, and show what reality is. So the first one I have up here is wealth equals real happiness. And I think you can see that. It's the idea that money can buy happiness. Money can buy anything. You can afford any kind of entertainment you want. You can fulfill any lust of the eye. I mean, just think of all the good things you can have if you have money. Is there anything worldly that money can't buy? Think about it. There's nothing, there's no worldly lust that you can't fulfill if you have enough money. Look at the celebrities, we already talked about how they're portrayed. They're living the good life. They have these exotic vacations, extravagant toys. They don't have to work much. They kick back. They relax. Sounds great, right? They have power. They have prestige. I think we all know that that is just an illusion that Satan is wanting us to, it's a mindset he wants us to get. That we can just kick back, relax. If we just get enough money, we can just kick back and relax. We can have happiness. Of course, the reality is that earthly wealth is vain. It can be entertaining. yeah, you can have some fun if you have money. But it can bring you joy for a small amount of time, maybe. But it's a shallow happiness. It's a shallow joy. It's nothing that, it's a shallow form of happiness. And eventually we're going to get bored of this earth with entertainment, and it takes something more to make us deeply happy. And you can see in Ecclesiastes 6, verses 1 and 2. Of course, who wrote Ecclesiastes? Solomon. Who better to talk about this than Solomon? I think we were already mentioned before that he was one of the rich. He was one that God blessed with riches, right? And remember, he tried all of these things. The entire book, Ecclesiastes, is a great book. That's one of my. I think it is my favorite book of the Bible because it deals with this. And this is something that hits home with me. You know, this topic of thinking about material things. This book is really a powerful book because it deals, so it just hits it head on, and leaves no room for doubt. Ecclesiastes 6, 1 and 2. Man is given riches and wealth and all he desires, but a foreigner comes and consumes. Vanity and an evil affliction. So you're given, this man is given these riches, given these wealth, but is he happy with them? Is he satisfied with them? Somebody else comes in and consumes them. They're here for a while. Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gains and fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. So, the reality is that earthly wealth is vain, but what does give us happiness? What did it say? Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Not happy is the man who finds money. Happy is the man who finds a new car. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. That's what we've got to put our focus on. If we want to be happy, we gain understanding, we find wisdom. It's going to far outweigh any gold, silver, anything that we can get on this earth. Anything we can achieve. That's the ultimate happiness. Did you have something? All right. I think that the wisdom and knowledge this is talking about is God's word. You don't have to have money. So if you apply yourself, Bible, God is going to get His word spread. Does it take money to get this? The poor people, you know, in the New Testament were some of the first believers, the first converts. So you don't have to have money to do that. I mean, I see what you're saying as far as worldly thinking goes, because yes, to get an education, you have to have money to get that type of wisdom. But that's not the kind of wisdom we're talking about. We're talking about searching for God's word here and learning what He wants. That's the wisdom and understanding. Right, that's exactly. And that's what we're saying here. This real happiness. These things can give you, they can entertain you. Wealth and money, and material things can entertain you for a little while. But what do we always do? I mean, this happens every day. I mean, I'm the world's word. I get a new phone. 6 months later, what comes out? New phone. I want the phone. I have that tendency to think, I'd really like to have that. The old works is fine. I love them. It entertained me so much the first time I got it. I'm messing with it all day. But after 2 weeks, I use it to talk and text on then. You don't use it as much, right? Things entertain you for a little while, but they never last. They don't give you that real happiness. All right, the next one I want to look at is that wealth gives us satisfaction. If I just had $1 million, I would be satisfied. If I just had this nice big house and this 200 acres of land with nobody around me, then I would be satisfied. I would be fine. I would never want for anything else. I'd have everything I want more. I'd have that accomplished feeling. If I just had money, I would be content. We'll talk about contentment a little bit later, but think of it in this aspect. If I just had this much money, I would be content. That's the illusion that the world is telling us, right? That we can be, that money, having wealth, having materials can make us content. It'll make us feel satisfied. Wealth can make you feel accomplished and means a fulfilling life. You're living a fulfilling life if you have wealth. What do you think about that? Do you ever get satisfied with wealth? Do you? If you think about it, just like we talked about our happiness for a little while with wealth, satisfaction for a little while maybe, but then eventually somebody's going to get a little bit more than you and you'll see that and it's a never-ending cycle. So the reality is that wealth leaves you wanting more. It's a vicious cycle. I mean, money leads to desire for more money. It just does. If you don't have the right mindset, and if you have this worldly mindset, you get money, you're going to want to get more money. It leads to greed. Greed is a sin that this is very prevalent. You know, if you have a lot of poor people maybe desire money, but I think most of the greedy people are really wealthy people because they've seen what the money feels like and they want to get more of it. Vicious cycle. Ecclesiastes 4:8. There is one alone with companions. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. His eye is never satisfied with riches. It's not going to leave you feeling full or satisfied. You're never going to get enough to say, I'm happy if you have this worldly view. Talk about what we're supposed to have a little bit later. If you're relying on God, then yes, you can get that content. Ecclesiastes 5:10. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. So much vanity is talked about in Ecclesiastes. Most all of it goes back to riches. Ecclesiastes 6:7. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. And I think that's a key phrase there. The soul is not satisfied. Some of our earthly desires and our earthly things may be satisfied, but that deeper part of us, that soul, it yearns for so much more than earthly things and earthly riches. Moving on. The next one I wanted to talk about. Wealth leads to an easy life. No needs, I've got it all. Don't need anyone or anything. I can kick back, relax, be merry. Eat, drink, be merry. Independent, I don't need anyone or anything. And that's a key phrase there. I don't need anyone. Wealthy people don't need anything. Think about that. That's the illusion that the world wants you to think. When you see all these people around you, these wealthy people. Of course, I think we know the reality is, and I think my battery. Okay, the reality is more money, more problems, right? If you look at people that have money, have wealth, that we talked about this a little bit earlier, you have more temptations. The more stuff you have, the more temptations you face in this life. You have that temptation of not relying on God. You get comfortable with your wealth. You think that's enough to get me through whatever I'm going to face. You lose that reliance on God if you let this mindset slip in. It, It consumes our time. You know, you're constantly worrying about it. You're wanting to get more, maybe. You're wanting to protect the money you do have, the materials, things that you do have. It often consumes our focus, too. You get more wealth. You start thinking about it more. You worry about people stealing it or losing it. People come from everywhere asking you for help. I mean, that's one thing that comes with it. I mean, you got money, people are going to come bombarding you, wanting you to help them. Worry about people taking advantage of you. There's all kinds of things that are going to come up when you have wealth. Pride and thinking you're self-sufficient is the main thing I wanted to focus on here. Is that pride and self-sufficiency. When you have money, you think you're self-sufficient and you lose the reliance on God. Revelation 3, verse 17 says, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You think you don't need anything. You say I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I have need of nothing. But what does God say you really are? Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You're nothing. Without God, you're nothing. Doesn't matter how many riches you have. Proverbs 13:7 says, there is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing. One who makes himself poor and yet has great riches. You can see that it's flipped there. The one that's poor is the one who has the real great riches. He's the one who relies on God. In reality, having more money means more worries, and wealth leads to more responsibility. And the last one I wanted to look at here is that wealth leads to lasting security. You can kind of see this mindset too. I have money in the bank, so I don't have to worry about anything in the future. I've got it all taken care of. I've got my retirement fund. I'm set for the rest of my life. People depend on it to get them out of problems. That security blanket for them. You think rich people get in trouble with the law, they just go hire a better lawyer, right? It's kind of like a security blanket for them. People trust in it because it gets them out of problems. It's the power to get out of trouble. It's that secure feeling. You can depend on it. You don't have to worry about future needs. Of course, I think you all know probably that where I'm going with that. It's not secure. It's temporary. Everything on this earth is just temporary. Material wealth will not last. It may be taken from us in this life. We saw Job a while ago. He had it all taken from him, right? That could happen to us. Or even if we do make it through life with the material things, we're not going to take them with us in eternity, right? They're only temporary. 1 Timothy 6:7. Everybody here probably knows that. You brought nothing into this world and certainly can carry nothing out. Proverbs 23:5. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings and they fly away like eagles toward heaven. Riches are just going to fly away. They're not going to last. James 5:1-3, kind of paraphrasing here, says, now, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. These things are not going to last. And on, we can list other verses here. Psalm 49:16-20, it mentions there, do not be afraid when one becomes rich. And then a little bit later it says, for when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. We're not going to carry anything with us. These things are temporary. We should have no security in wealthy things, in earthly things, in wealth, in materialism. We got to put our security in God. We got to trust in God. So that's the illusions that the world is trying to trick us with, that Satan is trying to trick us with. And I hope there's probably lots more that you can think of, and you can think of the ways that the world is trying to trick you into thinking that wealth and materialism is not going to affect you. But it does, and I want you to think about that and try not to fall into those traps. I had a couple more slides here, and just thinking about the responsibilities of the wealth. Now, even though we may not be pursuing material things in this life, like I hope none of us are just focused in on those material things, God may bless us with it, right? God blesses His people. He blesses people, so we may attain a lot of wealth. We may attain, somebody in this room may one day have all kinds of riches. What are our responsibilities if that happens to us? God blesses us with riches and wealth. He expects us to use them in a certain way, in a way that will glorify Him. So, earthly wealth means responsibility. We're supposed to be good stewards of everything, good stewards of everything. If you look at the parable of the talents and the minas in Matthew 25 and Luke 19, I think we understand that God blessed those people by giving them something. Remember the 5 talent, the 2 talent, and the 1 talent? The one with one didn't do anything, right? He didn't use it. He was not a good steward of that, of the thing that God had given us. That it could be anything, but here we're just talking about wealth. If God blesses us, we have to use it in a way that glorifies Him, to support our family, doing the things that God expects us to do with that wealth. We use our riches to honor God. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled and with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. But we have to honor God. How do we honor God with possessions? What? Right? That's one way. If you were going to honor a football team with your money, what would you do? Or a basketball, or any kind of athletic. Honor a co-worker. What is the honoring doing? And it's kind of bringing glory to them, putting them up on a pedestal. So anything that we can do with our money to show that God blessed us with this, and it glorifies Him, and it provides reverence to Him, it's something that we could use our money for, to honor God. Help the needy is another thing that we're commanded to do. Acts 2:45 is a great, after the day of Pentecost there, that they sold the possession. They had everything in common. They helped each other. And of course, 1 Corinthians 16 commands us to give on the first day of the week. These are the things that we can do and we are commanded to do with our worldly possessions and material. Time is about up here. So just in conclusion, focus on God's work, not on attaining riches. It all boils down to this. It's all an attitude. It's all a mentality. We may be blessed with riches, but we don't focus on it. We focus on God doing His work, and we may get riches, we may get blessings, and if we do, we use them the right way. But if we don't get those blessings, we're still doing God's work. We're still focused on doing God's thing. Matthew 6:33, of course, is the verse there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Proper attitude toward riches. Another thing. If we do have these riches, we have a proper attitude toward them, and we use our blessings to do God's work. Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so he may have something to share with anyone in need. That's an example. Paul telling the Ephesians, work with your hands and share with those who need. Use it to do God's work. And finally, and the most important one, I don't know if it's the most important, but it's the one that hits home hardest to me. We must learn to be content with what we have. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. 1 Timothy 6:6-10. Now there is a great gain in godliness with contentment. Contentment. We have to be happy where we're at in this life. If we're following God, He's going to bless us. He's going to take care of us. We can't focus on trying to get more stuff, more things, more riches that are just going to go away in the end. We focus on doing God's work. We must be content. Couple of things I had here. Don't fall into the traps that Satan has laid for us. We just mentioned a few of them regarding physical things. Don't fall in. Always be aware of the snares and the temptation that He's putting out. Just put God first. Focus on doing God's work. Learn to be content, and everything else will be taken care of. Any questions? That's it. I appreciate the opportunity. If you have any other questions, you can write them down. I'll let these other guys answer them tomorrow because I don't think I'm going to write them down. All right, thanks a lot for your attention. We going to break now?
Just a second. First of all, nobody answer out loud, but if I offered you this $20 bill,